To get any question answered instantly is one of the promises of the internet, and Google is a search engine that delivers almost every time.
The first hit almost always includes exactly what you want.
Now, this is a quantum leap because it can take your whole music library with you right in your pocket, right in your pocket.
Boom.
In your
pocket. That's iPod.
Users are now in control of what they watch and when they want to watch it.
Fewer and fewer people are getting information from TV sets.
Immediately after the events took place, blogs were created and they became a major part of the news environment,
There was no Hulu. There was no iPhone when this decade began. We now have our technology contributors, Baratunde Thurston and Clive Thompson, here to give us the takeaway from the last 10 years of tech news. Baratunde hosts Popular Science's Future Of on the Science Channel, and Clive's a contributor to Wired Magazine. I realize I'm giving you guys an impossible task here. I mean, we don't generally know what were the most important inventions until like 50 to 100 years later. But Baratunde, what do you see as the most important innovation of the past decade?
I'd start with the mobile phone. It has changed both our definition of rudeness and lowered the bar dramatically for how that works, but it's also connected us in ways that seem costless in so many different ways. The fact that we can pull out a device almost anywhere in the world and certainly everywhere in the developed world and communicate with loved ones and despised ones alike, whether we're in line, whether we're at home, whether it's 2 a.m. or 2 p.m., it's changed our connection to one another, and it's a really big deal.
And text messaging, a big part of that, where you can even talk to somebody when you can't reach them on the phone.
That's right.
Yeah. Clive?
Yeah, and the other thing about mobile phones is that they got cameras. Now, this is a very big deal because what that did was it massively increased the amount of things that have been photographed. Because before you had camera phones, you had to think to carry a camera with you, and most people didn't. Once you put a camera in a phone, everyone's carrying a camera, and so the amount of things being photographed have exploded. I'll give you an example. About 2 years ago, those sort of aeronautic formation flyers were flying over Brooklyn. And I was looking at them, I thought, well, I should take a picture of that. That's really pretty. And then I thought, you know what? Someone already has. Yeah. And I went to Flickr, and sure enough, about 10 different people had taken pictures on their camera phones, really good pictures, and posted them. And so we're in this very fascinating world where photography has become part of everyday life because of the camera phone, and to a certain extent because Flickr has encouraged us socially to share those photos. And that itself is an incredibly big transformation, because if you think back 10, 15 years ago, the most obnoxious thing someone could do was to sit down and force you to look at their photos of their vacation.
It's true.
Or their
babies. Slides.
That's right, their
the
slides,
baby
right.
Photos at
and,
work.
And Flickr, so Flickr changed that because it allowed us to do it voyeuristically, not to do it when someone sits us down, but to do it, you know, at our desk without them
when
there.
When we're seeking it out.
Right. And so these, I'll just finish, these two things are symbiotic. Flickr was the answer to which camera phones was the question, and camera phones were the answer to which Flickr was the question.
Huh. So, are you going with the mobile phone being the invention of the first decade of the 21st
yeah,
century?
Yeah, I'm totally going with that one. It's a big one.
Well, you know, before this decade,
yeah.
Google was not proliferating.
That's right.
There's a huge number of medical inventions that have changed the way we care for one another.
Viagra changed everything.
I wasn't going to go there, but Baratunde Thurston did indeed. Speaking of Viagra, yeah. We didn't have the kind of medical prescription ads that we did before now, which has definitely changed hospitals. What else are people going to be looking back on during the 21st century where they'll say, well, that's the year we got?
You know, I want to go back to Clive's, because I think he talked about, you know, the question, the answer of Flickr versus mobile phones. And you mentioned the word, but to Google, right, became a verb in this decade. And while Google did exist before this decade started, it certainly came into its own and changed our relationship to knowledge in the same way that Flickr and camera phones change our relationship to photos. We don't need to know things anymore.
We need to
know how to access things, you know, how to discover and to find. And so we've outsourced a big chunk of our brains to search engines and primarily to Google. We arbitrate arguments now with, wait, I'll just Google that. We don't, you know, memorizing phone numbers, there's the address book, but all sorts of facts and figures and lots of personal information is trusted to this outsourced third-party brain.
I would argue, Baratunde, that isn't necessary. Some people would think that was a bad thing, that people don't memorize things,
yeah.
But to a certain extent, it's moved the conversation from just knowing facts, sometimes trivial facts, to the analyzation of that knowledge. Getting the knowledge, the specifics in and of itself is so easy now,
right,
that everyone can blog about them. They can be deep thinkers about certain sites because they've gone beyond the basic threshold of what are the facts. Clive?
That's... That's true. The comparison point that Gordon Bell makes, and he's the guy who has experimentally tried to record everything that happens to him so that he doesn't have to remember anything. And I asked him this question, does it degrade the way you deploy your memory to have constant recall out there? And he said, well, he goes, in one sense you could say it does because I don't bother remembering a lot of things. But to say that it degrades your memory is the same thing as to say, well, you know, everyone knows how to do long division, but we don't do it because we have calculators. Now, does that degrade our understanding of the world? Probably not. It just means we're free to do other things with our brains.
I mean, I have to ask you about social networking sites. I mean, although I don't think in 50 years we're still going to have MySpace and Facebook, or for that matter, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain extent, this is probably something that we're going to look back at the beginning of this century, is that this is when we really started using social networking as the way we relate to our families and our friends.
And strangers.
And
celebrities, like strange people that were sort of just, well, I want to know about them. Yeah, exactly. I
mean, this is, you know, what social networks online have done is really sort of quantify and mark down in a sort of tangible fashion these soft connections that we've had. Our personal connections used to be limited by our brain's evolved ability to manage them, which is somewhere around 150 simultaneous connections. And time also acted as a separator between us and other people. So I'm not close to my kindergarten friends because I don't remember them. I'm not close to my grade school friends because I don't remember them. Social networking collapses both time and the mental limits and says you can be connected to everybody across time and space in a way that you never were able to before.
You said that Twitter and Facebook may not be here, and I think that's true. But I can tell you one thing that will probably be here in some format that was not invented by Twitter and Facebook, but definitely brought mainstream, is the status update. The idea that it is compelling and interesting to constantly, and I define constantly as anywhere from 50 times a day to once a week, to constantly broadcast to the world, be that your friends or interested strangers, what you're doing or thinking or seeing. Now this had existed in tech circles going back decades. There were these things known as the plan file.
Yeah, finger
and plan. Yeah, plan file. We're betraying our age here. But you know, if you're working on a software project, you would every day you would type a little paragraph and other people could ping it and see what it was. But the status update has radically changed the way we manage all those connections, because you're able to just have this very ambient in the corner of your attention span knowledge of what people are doing.
Well, it sounds like the first decade of the 21st century is going to be all about what happens to us on our keyboards, which is no surprise. But thanks so much to Baratunde Thurston, Takeaway Tech contributor, host of Popular Science's Future Of series in the Science Channel.
Thank you.
Clive Thompson, author of the science and technology blog Collision Detection. If the Takeaway is still here in 50 years, I'm going to check back with you guys and see if you were right.
Great.
And if you listeners have a pick for the top technology of the past decade and what we should be watching for, you can give us a call at 8778-MYTAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.